to turn to the 12th Psalm. Psalm 12. We'll read verse 1. Psalm 12, verse 1. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. The psalm, of course, was written by David, no doubt during Saul's reign, when there was a general decay of piety, both in Saul's court and in the entire country. What we read here is a prayer of David concerning the demise of godly and faithful men. And certainly such a prayer is applicable to today. It is a burdened plea for God's help. The very first word is help. It is a plea of great and tremendous urgency. Help. There's an urgency in this prayer. He cries, help, Lord, for the godly man. That is, the one who is truly devoted to God. That man ceaseth, or is in a discontinuing state. Could be through death, through sin, in many, many different ways. For the faithful, that's the same as the godly. That is, the loyal to God, the reliable, the dependable, fail or are dying away from among the children of men. So this is a prayer that implies the rarity of godly men, implies the rarity of faithful men. And no doubt today we live in a time when the ungodly and the godless individual is increasing right before our eyes, and the godly and the faithful are becoming more and more of a rarity every single day. And the sad result is that society is falling to pieces. And family life is in ruins, and churches are greatly weakened. So we pray with David, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. I want to speak this morning on the subject of the fathers we need today. The fathers that we need today. The kind of men and the kind of fathers that we so desperately need today. The kind of men and the kind of fathers that our society needs today. The kind of men and the kind of fathers that our wives and our children in our churches need today is described in those two words, godly and faithful. Godly and faithful. This godly and faithful man is, again, a rarity today, but that should not prevent us from being a godly man and a faithful man. In fact, it ought to encourage us to be just that. We need to lift up our hearts with David, pleading, help, Lord, the godly man ceaseth. The faithful fail among the children of men. These godly men, these faithful men are a rarity today, and wherever they are found, they are a treasure, and they are a blessing, and they, like the woman of virtue that we read of in Proverbs chapter 31, their price is far above rubies. In other words, you cannot put a price upon them. So we want to look today, first of all, at this godly and faithful man. Who is he? I believe he's identified all through the Scriptures. First of all, this godly and faithful man is one who has been saved by the grace of God. He is a man that has been born from above. He is a man who has been lifted from the miry clay. He has been rescued from the ditch of sin. He has been brought from death unto life. He has been brought from darkness into light. He has been reconciled to God. And this man fully realizes that all of this is due to the amazing grace of God. That he did absolutely nothing to bring all of this about. This man clearly states with his life that he is not what he once was. He clearly states that with the way that he lives. He states by the way that he lives his life that a wonderful and marvelous change has taken place. He states with his life that there has been a definite break from his old lifestyle, from the way that he used to live, and from who he used to be. And there is a clear and distinct manifestation that a change has been wrought in his life. In other words, a godly man is a man who has had a life-changing encounter with God. That's where it begins. That's where this godly man begins. The godly and faithful man is one who realizes fully that he has been bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Realizing that, he realizes that his life is not his own. He realizes that he has no right to squander and waste his life upon this world. The godly man fully realizes that he has no right to seek his own will. He has no right to seek his own ends, but he fully belongs to God, and he fully seeks, what would God have me to do? That's the godly man. That's the faithful man. The godly and faithful man is the individual who has the impression and workmanship of God upon him. He is a man who is devoted to God. He is one who is separated. He is one who is consecrated and set apart for God and His glory. Set apart and consecrated for the service of God. He is an individual who is so devoted to God that this devotion has sway in every area of his life. It has influence in every area of his life. He desires to be under the absolute government of God. He desires to be fully surrendered to the government of God. And he strives to do that which pleases and that which honors God. And he has a sense of obligation to the one who has saved his soul. This is the godly man. And this man is rare today. There are not many today who are godly men. There are not many today who are faithful men. This is a rarity today. But this is the man. This is the man that society needs. This is the man that children need today. This is the man that wives need today. This is the man that churches need today. This godly and faithful man. He is one who does not excuse. He is one who does not justify. He is one who does not minimize or blame others or try to cover his own sin. But he's heartbroken over his sins, and he seeks the forgiveness and the cleansing that comes only from the Lord. This godly and faithful man is one who has a personal and real relationship with the Lord. God and the things of God have a drawing effect upon his heart. And the things of this world draw his heart less and less and less. So many times today, the things of this world are drawing men apart from their families and drawing and causing men not to be and not to do what they ought to do. We need men who the things of God have a drawing effect upon their hearts and upon their lives. There is a sensitivity to God in the godly man. The godly man knows the voice of God. The godly man hears the voice of God. And the godly man is sensitive to the voice and the leadings of God. The godly man is a man who has a deep interest in the things of God. The problem today is that men have an interest in all kinds of things rather than God. The man who has a deep interest in God is rare. There is a oneness. There is a oneness of mind with God. The godly man is one who is clearly aligned with God. It's clear that he's on God's side. He has a yearning and he has a passion for God. He has a yearning and he has a passion for the things of God. He has a delight in the Word of God. There is an excitement. There is an enthusiasm for the things of God. And there is a thankfulness to God. And there is continual praise to God. There is a desire for His presence. There is an earnestness and there is a zealousness in the service of God. In other words, the Lord is the love of His life. God is everything to the godly man. Everything else is centered upon God. He is in love with the Lord. And it is a love that boils within. It is a love that consumes the heart. It is a love that consumes the mind. It is a love that consumes the life. This is the godly man. And this man is a rarity today. The godly and faithful man is one who clearly states with his life that God and the things of God are his priority. That's rare today. In other words, God is first. God has the preeminence. He has the preeminence over family. He has the preeminence over friends. He has the preeminence over job. He has the preeminence over pleasure. He has the preeminence over everything. This is the godly man. God has preeminence in his life. The godly and faithful man is loyal to God. He's loyal to God. If you're loyal to God, you'll be loyal to your responsibilities and to your family responsibilities. Amen. This man is loyal to God. They stay with God long after others have quit. The godly man observes just like everybody else that people quit on God and people wander away from God. But the godly man, he continues. No matter who else quits, he continues on. Through all the bitter criticism and ridicule, means nothing to the godly man. He just keeps on going. All the storms and all the difficulties, in spite of all the weariness, in spite of all the heartbreak, the godly man just keeps on going, keeps on giving his life to God, keeps on serving God all the days of his life, in all the problems of his life, in all the varying circumstances, in all the situations, in all the difficulties, in all the trials, the godly man realizes that his duty is to God no matter what else is happening. The godly man realizes that God is everything. Again, this is a rarity. The godly man has a deep-seated conviction concerning the things of God. And he is openly with the Lord. Everyone knows where the godly man stands. Whether they agree with it or not, they know where he stands. Because his life is open. And in his life, he is openly with the Lord in feeling. He is openly with God in sentiment, in purpose, in life. There is no halting between two opinions for the godly man. This is the man that we so desperately need today. The godly and faithful man is a man of purpose. He is resolved. He is determined. And he intends to do nothing that would defile his life, that would bring defilement into his family. He is determined that he will not be led away with the heir of the wicked. And he will guard his family from being led away with the heir of the wicked. And he'll say no to his children. And he does not want his children to be led away with the heir of the wicked. And he intends not to be conformed to this world. He intends to live for the Lord and not for self. He intends to walk by faith and not by sight. This is the godly man. He intends to look to God. He intends to lean upon God. He intends to trust God and believe God and to read God's Word and to study God's Word and to talk with the Lord every single day. The godly man. Help, O Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. It becomes more and more rare all the time. The godly and faithful man lives above things that divide and distract the heart and mind from God. He lives above the things that suffocate and choke the influence of the Word of God. He lives above the so-called values of the world. He lives above the priorities of the world. And he lives above the lifestyles of the world. The godly man. But the godly man ceaseth today. The godly and faithful man realizes that God deserves more than you and I can possibly give. God deserves more than we can do. But you see, the godly man always wants to go beyond where he is spiritually. He's never satisfied where he is spiritually. He wants to be more. He wants to be more godly. He wants to be closer to the Lord. He wants his family to go beyond where they are spiritually. And the godly man seeks to do everything in his power to encourage and to be an example to his family so that they will go beyond wherever they are spiritually. Godly and faithful man is a vessel fit for the Master's use. He seeks to walk in the footprints of Christ. He seeks the Lord. He reverences the Lord. He takes his proper place before the Lord. He seeks God for wisdom. In raising his children, he seeks God's wisdom and not the world's wisdom. In being the husband that he ought to be, he seeks God's wisdom and not Hollywood's wisdom or foolishness. He is one who seeks the Lord for strength. He's one who seeks the Lord for guidance and seeks the Lord for direction. The godly man is not ashamed to be seen walking with Jesus Christ. He's not ashamed to carry the Word of God. He's not ashamed to let everyone know where he stands between right and wrong. to be godly and faithful, to be a godly and faithful man, is a command. It's a command from God. Not only is it a command, it's a demand. It's an order. It's a directive. It's a duty. It's an obligation. And it is a responsibility of each and every man here today to be godly and to be faithful. I would remind all fathers today, your children do not need you to be a perfect father. There are none. That's not what your children need. They don't need a perfect father. They do need a godly man. They need that. Your wives need you to be godly men. Your children, your grandchildren need you to be godly men. Your community needs you to be godly men. Your church needs you to be godly men. And I'm convinced today that if families are going to survive, they'll have to be led by godly men, godly husbands, and godly fathers. What we need so desperately today is some mighty men of God. It breaks my heart in one sense and rejoices my heart in another when a faithful man of God goes on to be with the Lord. We rejoice that they've gone on to be with the Lord, but in another sense, I just remember Psalm 12, verse 1 every single time. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. Becoming more and more rare every day. But godly and faithful men, those are the fathers that we need today. You see, we need some mighty men of God who fully realize that their children are theirs. I'm afraid there's a lot of dads that don't realize that. Your children are yours. And your children are a gift from God. And you need to recognize the value of your child's soul. That child has a soul. A soul that is going to spend eternity somewhere. Realize today, soul, your children. We need fathers who realize, who are aware of the physical needs of their families, who are aware of the emotional needs of their families, and who are aware of the spiritual needs of their families. Most today are considered wonderful fathers if they provide all the physical needs of the children or provide all the physical needs of the family. And yes, that is a father's responsibility. That is not the mother's responsibility. I don't care what society says. Don't you ever forget that there is emotional and spiritual needs as well. And you can provide all the physical needs and beyond and fail in the most important of all, spiritual needs. We need some mighty men of God who are willing to be the spiritual example in their home. You say, I've delegated that to my wife. You don't have the authority to delegate that responsibility to your wife. God gave that responsibility to you. You don't have the authority or the right to delegate that to anyone else. It's yours. We need men who are willing to be the spiritual influence the lives of their children. To be an example to their children. By making it your life work to magnify God and to serve God with your life. You see, it's godly and faithful men who will be willing to step forward and take their responsibility for the home. And it is the father's responsibility for the home. And men need to embrace their fatherly role as spiritual leader. Because that's what you are. You are the spiritual leader of your home. Therefore, you ought to be a man of commitment, a man of conviction, a man of courage. You even have to have the courage to say no to your wife. You have to have the courage to say no every now and then. You need men of courage. Set the spiritual example. Bring your children to Sunday school. Don't send them. Bring them. Bring them to church. Go with them. Set the example. Set the example in studying the Word of God. Your children ought to know that you study the Word of God. You set that example. You set the example of praying. It's not your wife's responsibility to pray before meals. It's your responsibility. You set the example and faithfulness. You set the example of kindness and honesty and thoughtfulness. As I've said before, years from now, dads, it will not matter. 10 years from now, it will not matter what kind of car you drove. It will not matter how much money you made to your children. It's not going to matter. But I'll tell you what will matter, and that is the example that you've set for your children. That'll matter for the rest of their lives. Not only will it matter for the rest of their lives, it'll matter in their children's lives. The example that you set. This is an awesome responsibility. Fathering is more than how many toys are in the closet or how many clothes are in the drawers. It's by being an example, by being a spiritual leader of home, of the home. You see, we need men that realize that Christ is what is best for my family. Oh, I'm going to take such and such a job because that'll be best for my family. You'd better realize very soon that Jesus Christ is what's best for your family. And serving God is what's best. We need some mighty men of God who are willing to train their children, to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We need some godly men who will teach their children to reverence God. Some godly men who will teach their children to honor God's day. And God does have a day. And that day is to be honored. Our society no longer honors God's day. Wasn't that long ago, they did show some honor. Those days are long gone. Teach them a knowledge of God's Word. Teach them God's Word. Every child growing up in your home ought to know the Word of God because you teach it to them. You say, well, that's the church's responsibility. No, that's your responsibility. The church helps. It's dad's responsibility. Teach them the Word of God. Teach them the duty and privilege of faithfulness to God's house. The truth is this, that many children have been taught to be unfaithful to God's house through the example of parents. Teach them to obey. It's amazing to me how important it is for the dog to obey, and yet children can do whatever they please. Teach your children to obey. Teach them to respect their elders. Teach them to show compassion and respect to the handicapped. They need to be taught these things. Teach them to work. Teach them to persevere. Teach them right. Teach them the difference between right and wrong. Teach them about managing their time, managing their money, managing their life. Teach a boy to be a man, and teach a girl to be a lady. Teach them. This is another subject, but, well, it not kind of. I'll never understand how any man would allow his daughter to dress like a whore. I'll never understand that, nor will I even try. Sad. Teach them about the sanctity of their bodies. We need godly and faithful men that are able to be what their children need. Your children need a man of God. We need some mighty men of God who not only know the needs of their families, but pray concerning those needs. We need some mighty men of God, godly and faithful men. One of the best things you can do for your children is to love their mother. Love their mother. That's your wife. And the Lord, through Paul, said that husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. That is a sacrificial love. One of our great problems today in society is fathers who are selfish, who are not willing to sacrifice recreation for their family. It's a caring love. It's an appreciative love. It's a benevolent love. It's a permanent love. It's an edifying love. But you love their mother. You love their mother as Christ loved the church. And some will say, oh, that's two different issues. My married life and my parenting life are two different issues. No, it's not. They're intertwined. It is a sense, there is a sense of security. Children, when husband and wife love one another, there's security in that. If the atmosphere of marriage is distrust, the atmosphere of the family will be the same. If the atmosphere of the marriage is anger, the atmosphere of the family will be the same. On the other hand, if the atmosphere of a marriage is love, the whole family will absorb that love. And again, there's that security. Loving marriage will influence a great deal your children's perspective on marriage. And I believe it goes, has a lot to do with their marriage. In closing, Again, your children do not need you to be a perfect father. But they do need you to be a godly man. They need that. Every child here today needs a godly man and a godly woman in their life. The question is today to the men, are you willing to be that man? Are you willing to be that godly and faithful man? Are you willing to ask God to help you to be that man? Because I assure you today, that's what your family needs. A godly man. A faithful man. Notice, in closing, Joshua 24, verse 15. Very familiar verse. Joshua stood and boldly, and resolutely declared, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." But notice the phrase, "me and my." Me and my house. Whatever you decide to do today, it not only involves you, it involves your house. Me and my house. I will serve the Lord. That involved Joshua. But it also involved his house. And if you make the commitment, "I'm going to serve God," that is a personal commitment, but that will also involve your house. And if you choose today to wander away from God and to live your life outside of the will of God, don't you ever forget that will also include your house. Me and my house. We go together. Go together. The man that's sitting down at the bar, rather than being with his family, he needs to remember me and my house. It affects his house. And that's true of everything that we do. These are the kind of fathers that we need today. Godly men. Faithful men. Women of virtue. Every child that has a godly man for a father and a virtuous woman for a mother who has had that, oh, how blessed they are of God. That is not the norm today. It's very rare today. Very rare. And I'm not too concerned about my family being different than my neighbors. I sure hope we are. I would be more concerned if you're just like your neighbors. That's what ought to concern you. But if you've been saved by the grace of God, be a man of God. Be a godly man. Be a godly woman. This is what our children need today. This is what they need. They don't need you working 3, 4, 5 jobs. That's not what they need. They need godly parents. That's what they need. Be what they need. There isn't a person here who has natural affection who does not want to be what their children need. If you have natural affection, you want to be what your children need. And I'm telling you, what they need is godliness. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse of song. Let's all stand, Brother Larry will lead us in singing.